Okay, fine, you were right. It's working. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm just trying to make sure the shit works. Just chill. Hi, it's me, it's the Great One himself. Still tired. I was gonna say something. What the fuck was I gonna say about the previous podcast? God damn it. Oh! What was that thing called? I already forgot. Yeah, recorded the previous podcast like an hour ago. I've already forgotten everything that happened. Oh, cultural competency trainings. I went to the City of Fort Collins website and searched for cultural competency trainings because I wanted to find out what these are. I couldn't find anything about this to figure out what these are. Still sounds to me, because I'm a cynical bastard, sounds to me like a re-education camp. I don't know. Anyhow, I looked to figure it out. Couldn't find anything. Don't forget the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility. You are wrong, and I am right. You can go fuck yourself. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. There it is. Still tired. Still a little brain shot. You'll get over it. Remember, I'm not doing this podcast for you. Just to clear up the misconceptions. This is Stating the Obvious podcast, and it is the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile, My Intellect. It's a nuclear-tipped cruise missile with a stupidity-seeking guidance system. Fire it, it homes in on the stupid. And you know, the one disadvantage of the stupidity-seeking guidance system that the 50 caliber machine gun doesn't have is that the stupidity-seeking guidance system often gets confused simply because there's so much stupidity, right? So I talked about with you YouTubers out there, you know, you're like, I made a video today that feminist or poo-poo heads, and you think you're really smart, and you seem really smart, but you only seem smart because we live in a society filled with so many fucking stupid people, right? In Ancapadice, you will never be able to get paid money to make YouTube videos about how dumb feminists are, because in Ancapadice, there will be no feminist. Feminist will not exist. If any woman or femicent man decides, I want to be a feminist, well, they're not going to last very long, because unlike in our state of society today, where you can essentially make money by simply hating men, Anita Kuntzlesian, for example, in Ancapadice, you won't be able to make money just walking around talking about how the patriarchy is oppressing you. Nobody's going to pay you money for that, and thus you're not going to have any way to purchase food or shelter or clothing, and you're certainly not going to be able to grow your own food and build your own house, so you're going to starve to death and die. So all of you right-wingers on the YouTubes, you're smart in comparison to the 99%. But in Ancapadice, when the 99% dies, you're not going to be, you're just going to be average. So no, you don't get paid money for this. All right, I was going to do some other intro stuff, but I'm going to save it for the next episode. Let us return once again. I got to finish this book one of these fucking years, man. Because I want to get onto the ADHD book. The Internet is Not the Answer by Andrew Keen. All right, we're picking up. I'm on page 100. Where am I? Where am I going to start? There's so much. I keep going back. There's so fucking much. And what's hilarious is the whole, when I started reading this book, the entire YouTube demonetization thing, I wasn't even aware of it. I'm not going to say it didn't happen, because I'm always well behind the curve, because this is not a current events show. But when I started reading this book, I had no idea that this YouTube demonetization shit was happening. And so now I'm reading this, and I'm drinking my Tank 7 Farmhouse Ale from Boulevard Brewing Company. And I just keep going back. Oh, I need to read this. Oh, I need to read this too. Oh, I need to read this too. And I just keep finding more and more and more. Where am I going to stop? Where am I going to start? God damn it. Okay, I'll start here. Because I can get in some commentary on this also. Since I am a photographer. All right, here we go. I'm on page 132. Many of today's multi-billion dollar internet companies are complicit in the piracy epidemic. Oh, it's an epidemic. It's like a disease, is it really? Free social networks, like he puts free in quotation marks. That's why I like this guy. Free, remember, there ain't no such thing as a free lunch. Remember, if you're not paying for it, you're the product. Free social networks like Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram, for example, have spurred the growth of the distribution of unlicensed content. What is left of the photography industry is particularly vulnerable to this kind of sharing is in quotes, economy. Because much of the content on these social networks isn't accessible to the general public and instead is only shared between individuals, photographers find it nearly impossible to stop this form of unlicensed content use or even to accurately measure the extent of the illegal activity. As the American Society of Media Photographers notes, the problem has been compounded because networks like Instagram, Tumblr, and Facebook make very little effort to warn their members against the illegal sharing of images. Again, this is what I've been saying this for years, guys. If you're new to the podcast, I am a photographer. Both for money, I don't make a shit ton of money from photography because that's not what I've tried to push as an income stream. Mostly it's just for my own fun. I've been saying this for, if you don't want your photographs spread all over the internet and all over the world for free, your only option is not to put them on the internet. Once you put it on the internet, it's gone. And so this is one of those things, this is another great example of, I understand there are two sides to this, and both sides have these valid concerns, okay? So on the one hand, you've got photographers, and you can throw other creative endeavors into this as well. But let's just stick with photographers. You know, on the one hand, you got the photographer and you take your pictures and you want to be able to sell them and make money and all this other shit. But at the same time, as a photographer, right, you have contributed to the internet being what it is. It's this place where you go for free stuff. You want free stuff on the internet, information. You want the little ones and the zeros on the internet to be free. But you think that you should be able to put your photography on the internet and that somehow or another, your little ones and zeros are sacred, that no one should touch those. Nobody should steal your ones and zeros. Well, I have bad news for you. You get one or the other. You get an internet in which everything on the internet is free to everybody with an internet connection, or you get a world where you can control who has access to your photography, and if people want a copy of your photo, you can make money off of that. You get one or the other. There's no effective way to have both. Then there's the Google problem. It's no coincidence that the beginning of the piracy epidemic, it's a disease, coincides with the emergence of Google as the internet's dominant search and advertising company. But remember, there's no gatekeepers on the internet. Google is the dominant search company. Oh, but there's no gatekeepers. Nor is there any doubt that Google generates untold millions, even billions of dollars annually from piracy, either directly by Google's running ads on infringing sites, or indirectly by its placing pirated content high in its search results. In the United States, for example, a 2013 study sponsored by the Motion Picture Association of America found that Google was responsible for 82% of all search requests for infringing content. A number even outweighed by the 67.5% of the search market that in March of 2014 Google controlled in the United States. And you know, I have to say, I use different search engines like DuckDuckGo and stuff, and I have to say, when it comes to finding, I mean, not that I've ever done this, of course, I've only read about this on the internet, but what I read on the internet was that when you're looking for illegal or pirated content, Google is much better at finding those things than other search engines like DuckDuckGo, right? I mean, say you're looking for cracked software. I mean, again, I've never done this, of course, but I read this on the internet, so it must be true, right? Because I would never use Google to search for cracked software. That would be illegal. That would be wrong. That would be stealing from the multi-billion dollar international corporation. Remember, friends, whenever you watch that little DVD, that thing comes up and says, piracy is not a victimless crime. Every time you download a movie from the internet for free, some executive at a movie corporation, you know, he's one paycheck away from homelessness. You know, it's not a victimless crime. And in Britain, where Google is a monopolist with control of an astounding 91% of the search market, which is one more reason why the British people have become bigger pussies than ever in history, things got so bad in 2011 that the British Culture Secretary No, wait. You pussies in England have a culture secretary? Oh, nothing Orwellian about that. Things got so bad in 2011 that British Culture Secretary Jeremy Hunt warned Google that unless it worked on demoting illegal sites in the search results, the government itself would introduce new laws forcing it to do so. But remember, friends, there are no gatekeepers on the internet. But even Google's 2013 reform of its search algorithms, explicitly designed to downgrade or remove pirate sites, hasn't made much difference. With both the Record Industry Association of America, there's some more fucking jackoffs, and Billboard reporting that these changes have, if anything, made the problems even worse. For all of its self-proclaimed promises of doing no evil, the transformation of, once again, if you have to say you are, it's because you're not. When you have a corporation, our motto is do no evil. Dude, that should terrify the shit out of you. When you have to say you're not, it's because you are. The transformation of Google from a 1998 startup to the world's most powerful company in 2014 has been a catastrophe for most professional creative artists. As the owner of YouTube, Google has been sued by Viacom for brazen copyright infringement. It has been investigated by European Commission officials for illegally scraping proprietary content from rival search sites. It has been subject to class action lawsuits by both authors and photographers claiming willful copyright infringement by Google Books. Even German Chancellor Angela Merkel, who, you know, invited all these brown people in to rape her white women, well, they're not her white women, rape her country's white women. Even filthy, nasty, white person-hating cunt, German Chancellor Angela Merkel, publicly condemned, and when you know, when this cunt is willing to say something bad, well, but then again, Google is run by heterosexual white men, mostly. Yeah, there's that. Even German Chancellor cunt, Angela Merkel, publicly condemned Google's attempt to create a massive digital library, saying that the internet shouldn't be exempt from copyright laws. But once again, you, the person listening to this, you want to be able to go to the internet and get free shit instantly. You want free pictures, free information, free music, free movies, free entertainment. You want free. Yet, if you're one of these dumbasses, you also think that you should be able to put a video on YouTube and get paid for it. And because, despite your endless inability to shut the fuck up about economics and capitalism, you don't actually understand how money and capitalism work. So you want free stuff, but you want other people to pay you. But you're not paying them. And Google, of course, I remember the whole Google Books thing, where Google's just scanning in books and putting it on the internet, and people are like, what the fuck are you doing, man? You're reproducing my book and putting it on the internet for free. And as an anarcho-capitalist, you know, this is one of the big questions in the anarcho-capitalist community, is this concept of copyright, concept of, if you write a book, do you own the book? How do you control that? You know, how do you get paid for it? How can you stop other people? Yada, yada, yada. Sitting aside and capitalize for a minute and just looking at the world we live in. I've talked about this shit tons of times, right? Copyright laws do exist. Okay, so then when Google scans your book and puts it on the internet for free, Google has violated the copyright laws. Why is Google getting away with this? Right. If you make a copy of a DVD for your own personal use, right, you're supposed to believe, according to the warnings, that the FBI and Interpol are going to come and hunt you down. But Google can copy the fuck out of copyrighted material, make it free and available to the entire planet Earth, at least the part of the planet Earth that has internet connections. Nothing happens. So don't tell me everybody is equal under the law, because we're not. Yes, take two. Yes, Google has invested in YouTube, the world's dominant user-generated video platform, All right, let me take a deep breath for a minute. I'm going to have another drink of water. And a small drink of Tank 7 Farmhouse Ale. Okay, let's try to be professional here. Yes, Google has invested in YouTube, the world's dominant user-generated video platform, which, with Netflix, gobbles up half of U.S. internet traffic. But YouTube isn't the answer. Now, for those of you in the cheap seats, for those of you with Patreon accounts, for those of you who are alt-right YouTubers, let me read that sentence again, and I will read it a little slower, just for you. But YouTube isn't the answer. Certainly not for the independent musical artists like Adele, Arctic Monkeys, and Jack White, who in June 2014 were threatened, because there's no gatekeepers on the internet, right, you dumb faggots? Were threatened with being thrown off YouTube, because there's no gatekeepers on the internet, were threatened with being thrown off YouTube unless they signed up to the website's new subscription music service. Nor is it the answer for the millions of professional video producers who are, quote, partnering, unquote, with the Google-owned company for advertising revenue. Alt-right faggots with YouTube accounts who can't shut the fuck up about demonetization and your Patreon account. We're talking about you now. You might want to pay attention. The problem is that Google demands 45% of all this partnership, making it a struggle for these companies to make any money at all, particularly since YouTube's advertising rates are going down, dropping, for example, from $9.35 per 1,000 ad views in 2012 to $7.60 in 2013. Meanwhile, YouTube's privileged partners, the 100 production companies that in 2012 were given $1 million apiece to polish up their videos, are rebelling against Google's greed. One of these partners, the Los Angeles-based media entrepreneur Jason Calacanis, C-A-L-A-C-A-N-I-S, even wrote a blog post titled, quote, "I ain't gonna work on YouTube's farm no more," unquote, explaining why what he calls, quote, the absurd 45% YouTube tax, unquote, a kind of digital tithe that grants YouTube 45% of all advertising revenue from independently produced content, inevitably, leads to the demise of independent producers. Okay, now look, once again, guys, on one hand, I can sort of see your point, but listen, you're complaining that YouTube is taking 45% of what you think is your money. You made this video and you put it on YouTube, and then there's an ad shown on your video, and you think, okay, I should get 100, or maybe not 100%, but you're thinking you should get more than 55% of the revenue generated from that ad. Now, on one hand, I can somewhat understand this. But once again, kids, nobody came to you. You were not sitting at home. And you're sitting there, and then there's, and you open the door, and there's YouTube. And YouTube is standing there, and YouTube holds a gun up to your head and says, you have to make a video and put it on YouTube, and you can't go get a real job or anything like that. Okay, nobody came and forced you to put your video. First, no one forced you to make a video. Nobody forced you to put your video on YouTube. YouTube went out and got the advertiser. YouTube is doing all the technical work of putting the advertisement on your video. YouTube is doing all the work of displaying your video and hosting your video. Sorry, guys. If you want 100% of the revenue from your advertising on your videos, get your own fucking website and sell your own fucking advertising. On the internet, there is a gatekeeper. And the gatekeeper is whoever's, whichever's, however's, quote-unquote, free social media, website, whatever it is, you are using to display your creation. I hate to defend YouTube in any fucking way whatsoever, but YouTube is doing all the fucking work, and you chose to put your video on YouTube. Suck it up, Buttercup. You know, you sound like a goddamn woman. That man got me pregnant. He owes me child support. You know, YouTube forced me to put my videos on their fucking YouTube. They owe me more advertising money. You sound like a fucking woman. Ah, the squeaky chair. See, you guys always know when I'm leaning forward to grab the beer bottle and have another drink, because you'll hear that chair squeaking. Like, motherfucker's taking another drink. God, what a fucking lowlife bastard he is. I can feel the pain. I can feel your pain for the demise of independent producers. Okay. I'm an independent producer. I'm not demising. You want to hear this fucking whining? Well, I can't keep making my videos because YouTube won't give me more money. Yeah. Can you sound any more like a woman? I can't do blah 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 because men are holding you. I can't get a job because the patriarchy is holding me down. Why don't you get off your fucking ass? So I really don't. I understand we have copyright laws, like them or not, like they exist. We live in a status society, like it or not. It's where we are. The whole copyright, you know, Google plastering everybody's fucking intellectual material everywhere around the world. You know, these are all problems. But at some point, you have to get the fuck over it and move on. YouTube isn't giving you as much money as you want. Well, you better get the fuck over it and move on. The free is in quotes, the free Google search engine might be getting rich on the massive taxes it extracts from the internet, but the online, quote, free, unquote, economy simply isn't working as a viable economic model for independent content companies. Quote, the outbreak of free is being felt all over the economy, unquote, warns the New York Times' David Carr. Jeff Zucker's trade of the... God damn it, I can't read. Take two. Jeff Zucker's trade of print dollars for web pennies remains the online rule, with even the most popular websites being caught in what the media and advertising pundit Michael Wolff calls, quote, the CPM vice, unquote. The ever-downward spiral of cost per thousand page views afflicting even the most popular sites like Business Insider, BuzzFeed, and Gawker. Wolf notes that more traffic isn't resulting in an equivalent... Wolf notes that more traffic isn't resulting in equivalent rises in advertising revenue. No shit. Okay, this is what's being talked about nowadays on the interwebs, is the death, the coming bursting of this bubble of advertising on the internet. It's going to get way, way worse before it gets better. And believes that the digital conundrum for prominent online content brands is that, quote, it costs more to get traffic than what you can sell it for, unquote. Which again, what I've been saying, at what point does selling people's personal information and serving them ads reach a point where it has no fucking value anymore? It's a fatally flawed model, Wolf concludes, and can only be circumvented by websites like the Huffington Post that publishes articles about not letting white men vote and then has to pull the article and then people have to quit, or Forbes that use free user-generated content. Exactly, when you have a Huffington Post and everything you publish is written for free by people who don't have jobs. I mean, who are these people? I'm going to write some shit for the Huffington Post. I have no life experience. I have no fucking expertise. I have no skills. That's why I don't have a job and I have free time to write free shit for the Huffington Post. Or by internet businesses able to subsidize unprofitable online content with offline conferences and subscriptions. Certainly, online eyes remain much less vulnerable than offline ones, with average advertising rates of the printed edition of a major newspaper being around 10 times its online cost. The same is true of the value of offline versus online readers, with the Newspaper Association of America estimating that the average print reader is worth about $539 versus the $26 value of the online reader. And free certainly isn't working as an economic model for online newspapers. And there's a bubble that just needs to die as well. Online news, it's just, my God. If you, I mean, okay, I suppose there's a entertainment content to online newspapers when you go there and you can just read stupid shit that you wouldn't pay money to have a print edition of the newspaper to read something that's stupid. But newspapers and anybody who would work for a newspaper, it's like, guys, can we just kill the fake news? Can the fake news just end? Take, for example, the world's third most frequently visited news website, the London Guardian. In spite of breaking the News of the World phone hacking scandal and the Edward Snowden and WikiLeaks stories, The Guardian has reported operating losses of more than 100 million since 2010. Now, this is pounds, not dollars. With a stunning 50 million pounds lost just between 2012 and 2013. Right, because when you have an online newspaper, okay, so you're going to hire all these journalists and do all this shit that you think is journalism. But again, how are you going to pay them? Which part of you can't make money on the internet by selling advertising do you people not fucking understand? You can make money on the internet certainly by selling items. You know, you can sell your paintings, you can sell your crafts, you can make shirts and sell them, okay? And you can sell your books, and you could directly sell to people your videos, but again, you run into the problem of, oh, but how easily can that just be reproduced? You can make money on the internet. But the days of making money on the internet by selling advertising, which is the only thing newspapers have to offer. An online newspaper can offer two things. Subscriptions, right? You pay for it to get access to it, but why would anyone do that when there's ways around the paywall? Or you can serve advertising. I was looking for the word. I'm like, there's a word. I can't think of the word because my brain hurts, but there's a word for what this. Or you can serve advertising. No wonder The Guardian is experimenting with a robot-generated print edition.
What?
What? A robot-generated print edition called #Open001, which replaces editors with algorithms to select relevant stories for publication, because they can't even afford to pay an editor to look at the stories and figure out which ones should be published. We're going to have software do that for us. I'm going to major in journalism, which is another way of saying you're going to be unemployed for your entire life. This is what journalism is reduced to. Using a fucking algorithm in the place of a newspaper editor to decide what should be published. But robots can't write the kind of high-quality journalism that distinguishes The Guardian from most of its rivals. Okay, before you write in a sentence, high-quality journalism, you have to... There's no such thing as high-quality journalism. It doesn't even exist. So the newspaper's response to its mounting losses has been to double down, like a social justice warrior, on its advertising strategy, right? Because you never admit you're wrong, right? The fallacy of sunken cost. Yo, we've been fucking... Advertising's not working? Well, let's double down on advertising. We're not going to fucking admit that online advertising doesn't fucking work, right? It's like all of you YouTube faggots out there. Oh, YouTube is cutting your fucking... What do you call it? Your share of your advertising. YouTube is cutting into your revenue. YouTube is down, demonetizing your videos. Well, let's double down. Let's go get another fucking video channel on another fucking free platform that in 5 years from now is going to bend you over and ass fuck you. Yes, let's double down on what's not working. That's a brilliant fucking idea. So the newspaper's response to its mounting losses has been to double down on its advertising strategy. In February 2014, the paper announced it was starting a new, quote, branded content and innovation agency, unquote. In partnership with Unilever, that would essentially sell sponsored content to advertisers. As the blogger Andrew Sullivan warned about this native advertising strategy, it's actually a public relations campaign, quote, disguised as journalism in order to promote Unilever's image as a green company, unquote. So the next time you read something complimentary about Unilever on the Guardian website, make sure you check the fine print. The article may have been, quote, supported, unquote, by Unilever's marketing department. The carnage of job losses has been particularly bloody in the newspaper industry, with full-time professional reporters and writers' jobs at U.S. newspapers falling from 25,000 to 17,000 between 2003 and 2013, drop of 31% in newsroom staffing, to go alongside the 55% fall in advertising sales. ...47% drop in weekday print circulation, 35% fall in aggregated revenue, aggregate revenue, and 37% drop in pre-tax profits. The same period also saw a drop of 27% in newspaper editorial jobs, yeah, because they've been replaced by algorithms, and a hideous 43% fall in positions for photographers and videographers. Again, because people out there can take pictures with their cell phones, and the newspaper, something happens, the newspaper can go on social media and scrape people's Facebook and Twitter and Instagram photos of an event that's happening and use those. Things haven't improved in 2013 with Microsoft's online network MSN laying off all its editors because they can be replaced by algorithms, and Bloomberg and the London Independent canning their entire staffs of cultural writers. Things are equally bad outside the United States and Britain, with 15% of all Australian journalists losing their jobs in 2013 and 25% of Spanish journalists being made redundant since the recession, making them, according to the Christian Science Monitor, one of the biggest casualties of the crisis. And the future will be no less depressing for journalists everywhere. The New York University media scholar Clay Shirkley, who describes today's threatened loss of journalistic talent as catastrophic, There's no such thing as journalistic talent, at least there hasn't been in, what, 60 years? Predicts that in the short future, many newspapers will go bankrupt. Whoa, what a visionary. He just figured this one out. Okay, normal, non-stupid people have been pointing out that newspapers are going to go bankrupt for many, many years. Because the internet is the answer to bankrupting newspapers. Most of all, however, what the Guardian calls Silicon Valley's, quote, most striking mantra, its culture of failure, has come to the recorded music business. Oh, let's play our violins for these poor musicians. Oh, gosh. Now, of course, we have to distinguish between the ultra-rich musicians and the recording companies and corporations who are whining. And then the problem that there are other musicians trying to break in, and other than the occasional, you know, it happens. We get your Justin Bieber, and was it Adele? Was she the one who started on the internet? I don't know these people. Once again, there are always exceptions. There will be people who put their music on the interwebs for free, and people will find it and like it, and it will become, you know, money-making for them. They will make huge fucking profits, become rich and famous and super cool and all that other stuff. I'm not saying it cannot happen. But it isn't going to happen for most people. The latest attempts by Silicon Valley to reinvent the industry are legal streamed subscription services like Pandora, Rhapsody, and Silicon Valley's current darling, Spotify. Backed tonight only by Sean Parker, whoever that is, and by Peter Thiel's Founders Fund, Spotify has raised over $500 billion and was valued in late 2013 at $4 billion. It has aggregated most of the world's music into a single service offering more than 20 million songs as either a free advertising supported service or for a $5 or $10 monthly all you can eat rate. But while Spotify may be Santa Claus 2.0, oh God, how gay, for its over 40 million mostly non-paying users, the still unprofitable subscription service, at least in mid-2014, is an absolute disaster for musicians. Because again, all of you, including the musicians for whom this is a disaster, all of you want free stuff on the internet. You think you should be paid for your music being on Spotify, but you want free stuff from the internet. This is the problem. Once again, guys, you're just like a woman. Okay? You're just like a woman. I want a man to respect me and buy me dinner and there because that's what I want. I should get it. But the man wants sex, and what the man wants is wrong and bad, and he shouldn't get what he wants. I get what I want, but he shouldn't get what he wants. As with YouTube, the problem is that Spotify exploits creative talent to spoil consumers with either free or unnaturally low-priced content. And you know, that's a good point. There's low, to say unnaturally low-priced. See, in Ancapadice, people will actually, for the most part, will pay what something is actually worth, because there will be no subsidies. This is another way in which the internet is not the answer. The internet having showed up, having made it such that your video, your ebook, your music, whatever it is available everywhere on the planet Earth with an internet connection and can be unlimitedly reproduced. Okay, that undermines the value of the song you've recorded or the video you've made or the book that you've written. And it creates unnaturally low prices. When your book is printed on a piece of paper, it cannot be easily reproduced. When your book is in e-format, electronic format, PDF, Kindle, whatever, it can be effortlessly reproduced. I don't know why this is so hard to understand, but it is, apparently. The company may have raised more than $500 million and amassed 10 million paid subscribers, but very little of that cash is going back to the artist, with only an average of 0.6 cents per stream being paid to the musician. Former Talking Heads guitarist David Byrne, who believes that the internet companies are sucking all the creative content out of the world, notes that a four-person band to each make the U.S. minimum wage of $15,000 a year would need to get a quarter of a trillion plays for their music on Spotify. Radiohead star Thom Yorke put it more crudely, quote, "New artists get paid fuck all with this model," he complained, as he pulled his solo songs and all his atoms for peace music from Spotify. Brennan and York are far from alone in rejecting the Spotify model. Other notable artists who have openly spoken out against the exploitive streaming services include Amy Mann, Beck, The Black Keys, Amanda Palmer, Will.i.am, Zoe Keating, and Pink Floyd. It's not just Spotify that is the problem. Similar streaming subscription services like Pandora are equally exploitive. For example, in November 2012, the Grammy-nominated hit songwriter Ellen Shipley reported that one of her most popular tracks got played 3,112,300 times on Pandora, and she got paid a measly $39.61, which she could have made by selling 4 CDs. Well, no, because she does get the full cost of the, okay. She could, well, actually, she could burn her own CDs and sell them herself from her own website. Yeah, she actually could have made that same amount of money. Okay, factor in her time, 10 CDs. She could have sold 10 CDs and made $39.61. I can work in my own personal business. I can make $39.61 in less than an hour. Quote, "Pandora talks a great deal about their need to make a profit and survive, but they couldn't care less about the fate of those creators who are already hurting so badly that they dropped out of music," unquote, Shipley wrote, noting the 45% drop in the number of professional songwriters since 2000. Like the newspaper industry example, free or radically underpriced streaming music forces artists to rely more and more heavily on advertising business models to survive. As David Carr explains, quote, "In a streamed world where music itself has very little value, selling out is far from looked down upon. It's the goal," unquote. At the 2014 South by Southwest Music Festival, where a bunch of fucking wankers and posers get together and pretend they know something about music and get drunk and smoke dope, Carr noted that while labels were invisible, quote, "big brands owned the joint," unquote, sponsoring all the top performers. Everyone at South by Southwest was singing for their supper. Jay-Z and Kanye West performed on behalf of Samsung. Coldplay shilled for Apple iTunes. And Dorito-sponsored Lady Gaga was, quote, "smeared in barbecue sauce and mock roasted like a pig and then bit the tortilla chip that fed her," unquote. But we can't blame Lady Gaga or Dorito. No, of course you can't blame Lady Gaga for her own actions. He's a transvestite pretending to be a woman, but you can't blame a woman for her own actions, right? No, she had nothing to do with that. "For this sad state of affairs," Carr says, "it's a consequence of what he satirically calls a, quote, perfect world," unquote, in which, quote, "the consumer wants all the music that he or she desires on demand at a cost of zero or close to it," unquote. Yes, Again, you want all of this stuff for free. You don't want to pay for it. And then this comes back and it bites you in the ass when your stuff is being consumed for free and nobody's paying you for it. In 1989, I was profoundly wrong about the rosy future of the music business. And lots of other people did this prediction too.
Oh, the internet is going to make musicians are going to get rich now. They can sell their music directly.
And I heard this shit for years and years and years. Again, if this is the way it's going to work, if this is the way it works, if that's the way it works, if that's how it works, where, other than Justin Bieber and a couple of others, where are all these musicians who are making a quote-unquote living wage on the internet? They're not out there. Over the last 25 years, the internet has indeed sucked much of the musical creativity out of the world. In 2008 alone, there were 39,000 jobs lost in the British creative economy. Today, in 2014, the prospects of young musicians or entrepreneurs breaking into the industry are dramatically worse than they were 25 years ago. Back in 1989, we all wanted to work in the music business, but today, in 2014, the new thing is the multi-billion dollar companies like Spotify and Pandora that are destroying the livelihoods of independent musicians. Yes, the internet did change everything in the music industry. Music is indeed now abundant, and that's been the catastrophe of the last quarter century. From an economic perspective, there is something to be said about scarcity. Okay, when you had vinyl and you couldn't reproduce it easily, when you had printed books and you couldn't reproduce it easily, these things had some inherent value that could not be circumvented. With the digital age, when everything can be reproduced, the economic value of everything is going to go down. That's why the internet is just not the answer. And we know the internet is not the answer.